My mom says birthday. Mom, I know you're listening. You do say birthday, and I know you don't like it when I make fun of you, but it's adorable. And she also says, well, what do you want with the pasta? Do you want string beans? And I always think, did you just say string beans, like human beings?
Like Chandler beans?
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's funny when you say things and you don't ever recheck what you've said to know whether or not it's accurate. You might have just been saying things for years. So I don't know that my mom, is it that you don't know how to say birthday or is it that you do, but you just don't take the trouble to articulate the TH sound? That's what I don't know. And also the beings. And also, let's just say I love you so much, which is why I'm bringing this up, because every time you say it, I crack up.
But do you think that you have any of those things that you say?
Sure. I'm sure I do. Well, because my husband makes fun of me constantly. And so do you. Because...
Wait.
You always make fun of me for my expressions that I get wrong all the time.
I'm fun of you. I'm just here.
You love them.
I love them. I'm just here to hear you and then reflect.
Okay. This is one thing that my husband says I say wrong.
Okay.
He says I can't say the word forward. He's like, what was that? And he'll always like put his hand out by his ear to like make me say it again because he thinks it's adorable.
Does he not know you're from Flushing, Queens?
I don't know what I'm saying wrong. So I guess this is like my mom. Because is it forward? How do you say it?
I think you say it forward.
No, you don't.
Yes,
don't try to mislead me.
No, that's
now I'm going to walk around saying,
Tina?
Let's go forward.
Wait, Tina.
Forward.
It's forward. Yeah, exactly.
You did not say it like that.
Yes, you do. That's exactly. Listen to the news.
Forward.
You did not say it like that. You guys are totally trying to pull the wool over my eyes.
Listen to the news in the Midwest. That's how they say it.
Hey. You're listening to... It's your turn because I do it every week now.
Melty, messy, mandatory.
It's Robot Katie and I am Robot Ronate.
I wish I were a robot.
Why?
Because then I wouldn't have any feelings.
Oh, the feelings. The feelings are creeping up on me everywhere I go.
I'm dying.
You cannot get away from your feelings these days because there's so many things to worry about. And I guess it kind of feels like that all the time these days.
Right?
I don't know when we've been able to catch our breath, really.
No.
And when I do have like a day where the news isn't slamming me, I'm like, wait, what is this new feeling?
It's like you can't enjoy it because you're like, what is coming tomorrow?
Right. I mean, between all the stuff going on internationally and then environmentally between the forest fires.
Oh my God. I haven't even touched the environment.
Storms. I think about them a lot.
I haven't even touched the environment because I can't get off the Kavanaugh Express.
You want to talk about that?
Well, I guess a little bit. I mean, the news cycle is just so awful. I mean, and it's moving so quickly.
It is. We know by the time that this is being listened to, a whole bunch of other stuff is going to come out.
Yeah, so what fresh
we can't
hell
even be timely.
Broken.
Yeah, we can't even be timely, right?
God, it's awful.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I know that something else is going to come and, like, swipe me over the head. What's the expression? There isn't one.
Swipe me over the head is fine with me.
Knock me off my feet?
Yeah, there you go. Sweep you off your feet is a completely different thing. You know, the news is not sweeping
pommel
us.
Pommel me. Pommel me. Pommel!
Pommel.
Pommel.
Are you a gymnast?
No, and it is not my birthday.
So
go on. Okay, sorry. So let's talk about your feelings first.
Okay, here's where we are with Kavanaugh.
Right now. At the time of this recording, here is where we are now.
Here is where we are.
In my official voice.
In hell.
Take it away, Katie.
We are in hell. We are currently in hell. The weather is 4,000 degrees. Everyone thinks it's hilarious. Except the people who are experiencing it. It's awesome. Okay, so Julie Swetnick has signed a sworn declaration that has been released, basically confirming all of the rumors that have been swirling around. And by rumors, I mean women that he actually did these things to who came
forward.
That
have been swirling around Kavanaugh.
Exactly, that have been swirling around Kavanaugh. Julie Swetnick said that Kavanaugh and his friend Judge engaged in abusive and physically aggressive behavior toward girls, which included the fondling and groping of girls without their consent, not taking no for an answer.
Oh, and then there was the giving them maybe Quaaludes or something that made them really
out of... Spiking the drinks of girls at house parties with grain alcohol and or drugs as to cause girls to lose inhibitions in their ability to say no. They targeted girls specifically, usually a girl that was, quote, especially vulnerable because she was alone at the party or shy. And then she also swears to the fact that she both witnessed and was victimized by trains of boys taking sexual advantage, raping girls who have been drugged at these parties.
Katie, what is your opinion of where there's smoke, there's fire? What do you think about that in general? Because that keeps popping into my head. I keep thinking every time something comes up, I keep thinking, well, I mean, you've got to admit at this point, even if you are hesitant to, there's a lot of bad smells coming off of Kavanaugh.
Yeah. So here's where I am with that. Okay. So.
Oh, is that why you waited to open
That's
it?
That's why I waited to open my sparkling.
Isn't she
I was waiting
up
for the
sparkling.
Right moment. I was like,
my sparkling's opened, but I didn't get the sound bite for it. All right.
Oh. Can you hear this is? Okay, awesome. So David French, who's a really big conservative commentator, he writes for the National Review. He has 140,000 followers on Twitter. And he said, basically, to address your question of where there's smoke, there's fire, he tweeted, please, someone help me with this. Georgetown prep boys frequently committed gang rape. Lots of people knew they were committing gang rape. And despite this common knowledge, no one has talked publicly for 3 decades until the day before a crucial Senate hearing. What? That what is part of his tweet, by the way. I put the voice on it because that's how I roll.
You put the cartoon voice on it. Yeah, yeah.
But he's saying, well, it's just smoke. Smoke's just smoke.
Yeah.
Smoke was put there to make it look like there's fire, but there's not actually fire. And it's like this happens a lot where these things are huge and perpetrated on a huge scale and people don't come forward. You know how I know? Two words. Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Right? How many people knew? How many people knew about that and continued to go to church every Sunday?
And also, we've established by now that, I mean, people don't always report their assaults. In fact, most of them don't. And if you look at the numbers today on NPR, I heard a woman from the Mormon church who was gathered together with a group of her peers who has led the charge and written a letter saying, we need you to respect what this woman is saying. And she was talking about how of the people polled in her group, there were something like 61 people. They asked if they'd ever been sexually assaulted ever in their lives. These are women who've been raised in the Mormon church, and 41 of them said yes, they had. So when you look at those numbers of people who have been assaulted, when you look at even the celebrities who come out, and this is just a tiny fraction of people who feel empowered enough or safe enough to come out right now with these allegations from their past, think about how many people get assaulted. And, you know, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But the idea that it's rare or that people would just be doing things for attention should really at this point just be kind of
removed. The fact that it was normalized back then should make it okay now.
You're talking about the 80s idea
that
is what we did.
Exactly. Like people are like, well, she continued to go back to these parties where women were being raped. Well, how comfortable are you witnessing the pain of women you love? You're pretty fucking comfortable with it because I guarantee you there are people you love who are not happy about this Kavanaugh confirmation. And you're just kind of fine with that. You're kind of steamrolling it. You don't see it. You choose not to see it. You're sticking your head in the sand and you've figured out a way to make that okay for you. But to go back to what you're saying about where there's smoke, there's fire, I'm questioning like, okay, so one person comes forward with an accusation and one person's not enough. And then two people come forward and they're both liars. And then three people come forward and it's a conspiracy. And it's like, what's the threshold? What's the number going to be?
How many people?
Is it 200 women? Because if it's 200 women, are you really comfortable calling 199 women liars? Because you made up your mind when you were 10 years old about what a good person looks like. And it looks like Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Like, can you get back in there and kind of reprogram yourself or at least ask yourself the question, like, why would 199 people, or in this case, three, come forward and say, yeah, this is accurate. This happened. I'm putting my name on it. I'm willing to take the shit.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, isn't it true that only one of the Republicans has to vote against him? Like, they only need one vote against him from the Republicans to make the vote not go. Because I believe that of those women, those female Republicans, that there's a chance that they will not vote for him. I mean, I do. Because at this point, I feel like, you know, again, there's like a saturation point, which we talked about last week. I feel like now maybe more and more people are finding it plausible that he's a heavy drinker. Right. You just keep hearing, you get steeped in all this news. Right. And you might, well, I didn't know this. I mean,
although I'm just waiting for him to come forward and be like, maybe I did these things, but it wasn't me.
Right. Exactly.
It was the drink.
Well, also,
which we talked about last week.
We haven't talked about, and I wonder how you feel about it, about the fact that he did it was an unusual move to do an interview with your spouse.
Yeah.
Because you know that the White House is feeling very nervous if they're basically parading him out and saying, let's do some interviews. We now are taking this threat of not getting nominated seriously.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was really interesting that he was falling back on the virgin defense because we all know that adult male virgins typically have super healthy attitudes toward women, right? Woo! Like, why? That is such a non-issue. But what I find so frustrating is the more I read about this story, the more takes I get on this story, the more I feel compelled to come forward and like educate people and talk about things that are painful to discuss and gut myself. Like it's like I have the stomach flu, except instead of barfing what I ate yesterday, I'm barfing up traumas that happened years ago in order to prove that there's an outbreak, there's an epidemic. And it's like a reflexive thing where like you see these things and it's like, no, it's true. It happened to me. No, that's true. That is absolutely how male cruelty works when you're in high school. Like I have been there. You know, you saw the thing about like the yearbook quotes where they all had that inside joke about this girl named
Renee. Yeah, that's very familiar.
That's like, of course they all had a joke about this girl. And of course, probably none of them ever even got any from her. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter. They used her to prove that they were men. Mm-hmm. Like, but the conversation we're having right now is an example of how I'm like, I'm not going to get emotional about this one. I'm not going to revisit the shit from my past on this one. And yet I keep getting pulled in and pulled in and pulled in. And at the end of the day, I need some fucking self-care. Like, I need some self-care hard right now.
I mean, we've talked about this too. I mean, I understand the behavior behind all this, and I've seen shades of it. I haven't personally, you know, in my past experienced the kinds of things that they're coming out with. But I can imagine, and I know we've talked about this before, if you had been a victim of any of this kind of assault or abuse, how the news cycle, how the TV, how the newspapers and magazines, how interview shows would just feel like a barrage at this point.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And, like, it would be funny if it weren't quite so awful. Like, it is because it is just the worst-case scenario channel is playing on every station.
It's Although just awful. Something occurred to me, which is that this tremendous destruction-level pain that we're all experiencing now and, you know, nobody can kind of figure out or predict where we're going to go with this, what they're calling the Me Too era. What if the result of all this is ultimately, I'm not saying it's good that all these bad things have happened to people, but what if one of the bright spots of this whole, if we're calling it era, is that people don't allow themselves to be abused as often because they feel that someone's going to listen and that people don't feel as tempted to abuse because they feel they're going to get caught. Like, that is not a reason for, you know, I'm not happy that everyone has been abused and victimized. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if out of this comes self-advocacy in a way and fear for perpetrators in a way that stems some of this, that might be one of the only good things that happens.
I agree with you completely. Like, I would love nothing more than if the consequences began to match the crime, right? And so if that consequence is coming in the form of humiliation, public humiliation.
Well, like Cosby.
I'm kind of fucking okay with it.
Like if Cosby is finally being, you know, held accountable for his actions, which no amount of time can really, you know, make that okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he seemed untouchable. And I was listening to the news and they said, you know, 3 years ago, this kind of conviction, this wouldn't have seemed possible for someone in his position.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. I keep thinking about how people keep talking about how Kavanaugh's losing everything. He's losing everything because of these vicious lies. He's not losing everything. He has a job that pays like $200,000 a year. He has a lovely wife and children and a family, and he can coach basketball, and he has a full life right now. He has a full life. And if he also is being forced to accept consequences for something that other people have had to be paying for this whole time, again, kind of fucking okay with it.
Yeah.
But I feel like one of the things that we're not talking about enough right now is the fact that while it might feel good in the moment to kind of share these traumas and have them heard. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the hashtag Why I Didn't Report. It's incredibly moving and upsetting and comforting in a way for people. It's a way for people to share stories as much as they want to, things that have happened to them. But once that's open again, it's not like, oh, I aired that out. I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Like there's some fallout that happens after that. And I genuinely think it's really important to talk about what it means to be triggered, actually, what that term means, and how we can kind of all take care of ourselves and each other while we are fucking slogging our way through this shit river because someone promised us that there was a better hill on the other side, right? Like, we didn't really have a choice. We couldn't stay on the other riverbank because Brett Kavanaugh was back there and drinking. Mm-hmm. We know how he gets. Mm-hmm. So I feel like First of all, and I really wanted to thank one of our readers who left this comment on our Facebook page. I don't know if this was in response to our last episode where we said share some ideas that you think need to die, right? And she shared this idea that being upset or bothered by something doesn't mean you're triggered. She said having an intense emotion isn't being triggered. Being triggered is being trapped in a flashback after disassociating or being thrust back into PTSD. It's a clinical term that's been co-opted and is so often used as an insult, particularly to feminists, and its misuse needs to die a horrible death. Agreed. Completely agreed. And I have to say, full disclosure, I am completely guilty of casually using the term triggered in one of my recent blog posts because I was responding to a troll on Twitter who posted the, you know, the triggered girl meme. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
It's like a slender white girl with like glasses and a turtleneck making a freaking out kind of rabbity looking face. And it has triggered in like giant letters. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like Twitter triggered is basically any woman who uses an exclamation point. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's they will tell you that you're triggered and triggered is code for she's not operating in reality. She's illogical. You can't reason with her.
Because she's a woman. She's having feelings.
She's a hysterical woman, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a huge difference between Twitter triggered, which is just emotional, and clinically triggered. And I, you know, for people who are Twitter triggered right now, which is to say upset, let's find another word.
That has to be traded in.
Exactly. Because the problem is that when you use triggered in that way, it really mischaracterizes and kind of minimizes the experiences mm-hmm. of people who are like in the throes.
It waters down the actual phenomenon.
Exactly. The actual trauma of a clinical triggering experience. So we got to figure out a new thing to say. I think upset.
Upset is a good word.
And it's fine.
It's not gendered as much either. Just to say I'm upset. This is disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm disturbed by what I'm seeing on Twitter.
Disturbed. I like disturbed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Disturbed. It's a good one. I'm disturbed.
You look like you're about to think of another one.
No, I'm not.
I really like it. Can you give me something more time to say?
Disturbed. No, it's perfect. But I think one of the biggest things that we need to realize is in a time like this, a lot of our kind of traditional, you know, when you think about self-care, some of the things that you think about are not going to cut it in a situation like this that is really intense. You know, like a bubble bath is not going to cure what ails me today.
Today. I'm like, watch out, step off the bubble bath. Okay,
because
I almost took one again last night. And then I said, I'm too busy. I can't do this right now.
I know. But I mean, when we talk about people reopening these wounds, it's like a Band-Aid is not going to cover this. There's a fucking railroad tie in my gut.
You know what?
You know,
I don't want to seem like Captain Obvious here, but I think one of the best ways to just immediately calm down is to stop reading Twitter for a while. Now, I know that that may not fall into what you are talking about because you can't just hide from your life. But I do think, you know, they've proven, and I've talked to my students when I was teaching ninth grade last year, my ninth graders were telling me how much their social media and phones were making them depressed. They were literally looking at their phones while they told me how depressing it is to be their age with all their friends who have phones. Now, we are talking about a demographic of kids who are middle class for the most part and white. You know, there are very few people of color in the group that I was teaching or not middle class. But they were saying that school was terrible. They were depressed. And this is the effect the phones and social media is having on them. And I think that you can get into this like cycle of constantly trying to feel better and try to make your day different by what you see on your phone. And I just think sometimes you need to kind of shut it down. To see what everyone's thinking at all times in the world is really too much.
I totally agree with you. Piggybacking on what you were saying, social media is designed around the idea that the more people like something, the better you are, right? The more people like you, the better you are. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about upsetting and disturbing incidences of sexual violence, or when you're writing something and sharing something widely that people are not going to like, it's like a double whammy because you put it out there on social media mm-hmm. and then you get people showing up saying like,
right.
But women can destroy men's lives with these vicious lies. And it's like, fuck you,
it's
John.
It's like someone left a turd on your doorstep. So the problem with the Twitter stuff or any of that social media stuff where people can comment and then leave and you don't know where they are, it's like someone left you a really disgusting turd on your doorstep and you have to clean it up. And you're like, bah! And yep. you're like yelling at the turd, but the yep. turd doesn't do anything.
Yep.
I don't know why I keep saying turd. I don't use it in my daily life, but you know what I mean? It's yep. like this feeling of like ineffectualness and like frustration and where are you supposed to take it out? And that's why I think it becomes sort of a cycle. And so part of me feels like we should put work out there. You know, we're both writers. We should put our work out there, or if you're an artist or if you're a politician, whatever, put it out there. And you cannot respond to everyone and you cannot make everyone happy. And you just have to stick to your roots and what you feel.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think going along, I was thinking about like what legitimate self-care would look like right now, because mm-hmm. it's not cheesecake and it's not binging TV necessarily.
Doesn't hurt.
I mean, no.
Popcorn with a lot of butter.
Hurt. Cheesecake yeah. doesn't hurt. Mm. All your favorite fatty, salty, sweet, creamy, yummy things. They don't yeah. hurt. They
candy,
do not
salad.
Hurt. But I think the biggest thing we can do for self-care right now is just respect our own boundaries and like hold our own boundaries. And mm-hmm. I think logging off of social media is a huge way to do that. Blocking those fuckers instead of engaging them in conversation right now. You don't own them. You don't owe them conversation. You don't owe them space to be shitty to you.
Yep.
Block them. Delete them. Move on. You're not a fascist. You're protecting yourself.
True.
You're fine.
True.
Boundaries are a huge, huge way to like genuinely exercise our self-care at a time when the news is upsetting and disturbing. I also think like engaging, but in a way that empowers you, like you were saying, you know, sharing something in a way that you're willing to put out there
mm-hmm.
and then you're doing it in a way that feels safe and you're mm-hmm. doing it in a way that feels like you're owning your story, not that you're seeking approval or seeking
right.
validation.
Sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, what yeah. the difference is. You have to kind of get quiet with yourself and figure it out. You know, what are you doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Yep. It's like giving what you want because the act of giving empowers you.
Yeah.
Instead of giving because somebody pulled it from you.
I was just thinking about how when Trump first got elected, so many people fell out with their families, and that, you know, you heard a lot about family fighting and posts on Facebook and really divisive types of, you know, articles being shared that just infuriated people in the same families. And I know some people have suffered scars from that and haven't even gotten better yet, you
yeah.
know. So that's what I'm kind of thinking about, how powerful this whole time is right now.
Well, and I would argue that it's a completely fucking related issue.
No, because, I agree with you.
Right? The reason that a lot of women found it really painful when the people in their families voted for him, despite knowing that he was a sexual predator, it was like, oh, so you're fine with my body paying for this presidency. You're fine with my pain
right.
purchasing this because you don't like immigrants.
Well, that's
okay,
why this is even,
I get it.
This is even worse. I mean, it's just beyond to think that Kavanaugh has this little trail, not so little anymore, this important and powerful and sad trail of women he's assaulted and misused in his background. And he's thoroughly been promoted by a president who has even more of that. It's just like a disease.
I think we should all just stop trying to find hot takes on this and be like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It smells like bullshit. It's stuck to your shoes. You're tracking bullshit around. It's bullshit. It's over. Step down. It's done. Get out.
When you get out of like your political corner and women just start to think about this, and you don't even have to be someone who calls themselves a feminist. I mean, I really don't think so. Just a person who's ever been hurt by a man because of their gender, for example. How can we even tolerate this? It's like this giant cloud and it's gathering, and I feel like it's going to obliterate all of us unless we just fight back.
Yeah, I agree.
Or maybe we're the cloud. Okay.
But I do want to like pivot a little bit and shift gears.
Pivoting.
I don't know what that. I'm a robot. Who
I like all your noises.
Beep boop, beep boop.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you genuinely don't have any sexual trauma in your past.
Mazel tov.
Congratulations. Good for you. And I'm genuinely happy
for
you.
I do not
wish that on anybody. Mm-hmm. But if you're listening to this and you like genuinely don't have any sexual violence in your past, you know, you don't have that railroad spike in your gut that you have to put Band-Aids over every
yeah.
time somebody like rips it open again.
Yeah.
But you're genuinely horrified at the discourse around this. And the way that this story is being twisted and the way that these women are being called liars and dragged. And you want to help the people in your life who have survived trauma. We have like a few kind of tips and do's and don'ts. Like, how can you help the people in your life through what I'm calling Hell Week?
I mean, how it's hell year.
Because next week it's going to be better.
I don't know. Yeah. Can't promise it.
Yeah. So we have just a couple of tips. Like, how can you help your partner? How can you help your sister? How can you help your girlfriend, your child, your mother, your grandmother. Like, that's something that you don't think about enough. We all worry about, like, oh, what's happened to my girlfriend in the past? What's happened to my wife? What's going to happen to my daughter? Think about what happened to your fucking grandmother, and she never got to tell anybody about it.
I know. Okay? I think about all the people who did not have a voice and who could never come out, and all the people who had secrets and that they took with them to their graves. I think about it all the time.
Yep. Okay. So if you want to help some of those people by being a friend, being a partner, here are some really, really, really good tips. I mean, solid gold, top shelf tips.
Okay. Well, it's funny because you're still looking at me with these kind of foggy eyes. Like,
no, I mean, I can go. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, okay. I want you to go first.
So the first thing you should definitely not do is do not reach out to your old girlfriends or hookups to find out if you did something that upset them.
Why, Katie?
Okay. First of all, there's a time and a place for closure. This is not the time right now. If you are worried that you did something shitty, chances are you did do something shitty. You can probably trust your gut on that one. And right now is not the time to, like, pop into her DMs like a giant turd left on her doorstep.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But instead of being just a turd, she, like, opens her door to see a dog shitting on her doorstep. And you're like, no, it's me. Sorry, I shit on your doorstep. And she's like, well, here you are shitting on my fucking doorstep again.
Wait, I want to clarify. Is this in part because asking the question is putting the onus of the work on the person that you have done wrong to versus just saying, hey, look, I'm really sorry about that thing I did. Or are you saying don't reach out at all right now?
Don't reach out at all right now is my position.
Okay.
Because we know that the news cycle is hot for sexual violence right now.
Jesus.
If you want to be part of the solution now, you want to be part of the solution in a month when she's had a chance to kind of fucking stabilize, right?
Okay, that
if you reach
good.
Out right now, it's like, oh, you've been swept up in the good guy fervor. I don't fucking believe you, first of all. Second, I think you're probably scared that I'm going to say, like, are you planning a congressional run soon?
Exactly. I was just going to say that. I thought I was so original. I was wait, are you planning to run for something? Is that why you're contacting
me? And then the other thing is, like, legitimately, I don't even remember half the people who have done things that they need to apologize to me for. So if you show up and you're like, hey, remember that thing I did 20 years ago that was super humiliating for you? And I'm like, no, I hadn't remembered that until now. Really great timing, though. Really was ready to take that blow. Thank you. Like, you have to be able to do it with her consent. You have to be able to show up and take full responsibility for what you actually did wrong. Not ask, like, was I a gentleman? You fucking know if you were a gentleman, okay? Don't make her tell you. That's shitty. That's extra work for her.
Although
I do
want
to do right now.
I do want a little plug here that if you are a person thinking about reaching out to someone, you're a lot farther along than people who don't even recognize that they did something wrong at all.
Yeah. I would say, like, write a letter. Mm-hmm. Hold on to it.
Put it in your trunk.
Put it in your trunk.
Lock the key. And then later, wipe the dust off the top, get that key out, and crack it open.
You sound like a cartoon mouse from Fievel Goes West right now.
Oh, Fievel.
I think definitely don't reach out to any old flames right now to find out if you did something wrong or apologize or anything like that. We cannot do you right now. We cannot tuck you into bed right now. We are doing us right now. So leave us alone. Mm-hmm. If you care now, you'll care in a month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Reach out in a month. And if you want to send us any drafts of emails that you've crafted, I think Renate and I would be happy to take
those. Good. Yeah. Let's offer that. We can do that.
I mean, we won't read them on the podcast or anything, but we will be women who will look at that.
I will
be
a woman when I look at it.
Hard pass, Chad. This is a terrible email. Mm-hmm. That's what I will probably say to most of you.
Well, I'm
sorry. Listen, I want to be honest.
I'll be the good cop. She's
the
bad cop.
Yeah, I'll be the bad cop. It's pretty standard.
I just sit here eating donuts while we do the podcast. Sounds good.
Okay, so another thing that you can do if someone you love, you think they might be in distress, you notice you, like, walk into the room and you see them, like, staring out a window, grinding their teeth, you know, like, you can tell that there's some shit going on in their head. Help, but do it without being like, I can see you're a fucking mess right now. So I'm going to step in and help you do your life. Right?
Mm.
Okay. So that's a thing that I wanted to circle back to with self-care. When people tell you to take care of yourself, the implication is you don't look like you're taking care of yourself. And someone who is alive and conscious in the world today, living with their trauma, is taking care of themselves. They are capable. If the water is at their head, it means they haven't gone under yet. And what they need from you is not a reminder that they should have worn a life jacket. They just need you to toss a ring. They just need you to toss the ring, okay? Just toss them the ring. And what that looks like in a relationship is like, I'm bringing home dinner tonight. What that looks like in a relationship is just do the laundry.
Or just do it.
I was totally going to bring up mac and cheese right now. Just go make the mac and cheese and say, there's some food ready if you want it. You know, I've got it for you. Not like, what do you want? What can I do? Just do it.
Like, you look like you're not capable of handling your life right now. So tell me what I can do to help you.
No, don't do that.
Stop it.
Don't do that.
And there are a lot of different versions of that. You're probably sitting here thinking like, I would never tell someone they don't look capable. But when you tell someone you need to take care of yourself, again, hear me. What you're saying is, I can tell you're not taking care of yourself. And again, if they're alive in the world, they are taking care of themselves. If you want to help and make that trip a little bit nicer, you can totally do that.
Totally. But don't sit down to help fold the laundry because you're trying to be a hero and then ask, how do you fold the pants? That's not cool.
Right.
Second of all, this might have happened recently. But the other thing I want to say is some people, like I've been going through, like I have a lot of family stuff going on right now. Nothing bad, just great stuff. But I've had 3 or 4 friends call me and say, what can I do to help you? And I see that as like, you guys care about me and want to support me right now. I don't see it as you thinking I can't handle it. So I do want to just differentiate what you're saying. I think sometimes people will say you should take care of yourself because I love you and I want you to keep on taking care of yourself. And it doesn't always have to mean like you better do some self-care. You're about to rocket off into the universe because you're losing it. That's not always what you mean.
No,
right?
I totally agree with you. And I think the difference between the idea of a person who's never experienced this kind of trauma telling a person who has experienced trauma to take care of themselves and friends who have all been in that position of like family stress, like, you know that I've had family stress.
Or full plate, you know.
Yeah,
let me help you with your full plate.
Exactly.
You're talking about the more hard-hitting, traumatic times that people are going through.
Well, I just think when someone offers to help, if they've been in that position before, they know how to help you better, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody who was like an only child who had no spouse and no children and no family, an orphan. I don't know where I'm going with this. If an orphan offered to help, you'd
created
be like, shut
in a
the
lab.
Fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that's what you would do. Don't lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your other tip for self-care?
Okay. So I once read that one of the best ways to parent a teenager was to be a potted plant parent. Have you heard this?
Yes, but I don't do it. And that's why I get yelled at like all the time by my teenager.
Explain what a potted plant parent is.
A potted plant parent is when you kind of just sit there and absorb and you don't interfere too much and you're there to listen and you're there to support, but you're not intrusive.
Yeah, you don't need anything, right? When you're sitting in a room with a potted plant, it's not like, pipe down, potted plant. I'm
like,
trying to read my book. Right now.
Did you know something I learned from a therapist a long time ago, that sometimes asking someone questions is not only invasive, but it is actually putting the work on them. So for me, and it could just be my family or it could be my Jewishness, like for me asking questions, or it could just be me, I'll take full responsibility, I'm sorry. For me, asking questions is a way that I engage with someone and tell them I see them and that I'm listening to them. But I think when you are being asked questions, sometimes it's off-putting and it makes you feel like you have to dig in deep and do the work. And so with my kids, sometimes I realize I do that. I'm asking questions and it's just like, ugh, they want to just swat me away like a fly. And it can take a little time for me to realize they're not loving me. It's just that it's just too much. The questions are too much. So then I have to go potted plant, which is really hard for me.
Yes. No, it is really hard. And I think when you love someone and you can see that they're in pain or that they're processing something or they're, you know, you're worried about them, you want to get in. You want access. You
especially
want to knock
if
on
you
the
feel
door.
Like you know the answers.
Totally.
But sometimes you really have to listen.
You really have to listen. Sit and wait for those people. This is what we were talking about earlier with boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to wait for that person to say, I'm ready. And they will turn to you when they're ready and say, okay,
but you
let's
have
talk.
To be there.
Oh, yeah. Don't spend all of your time telling us how shocked and appalled and surprised you are that this is our reality. Because all that shows us is that you haven't been listening. You haven't been paying attention. We do not have magic vision. You see the same shit we do. You just don't interpret it as threatening or harmful when we understand that it is threatening and harmful. So the more that you express that, like, shock, like, oh, my God, it's awful. Like, I had no idea it was like this. Like, I know you had no idea because I was there and you were having a great time and I was shitting my pants scared, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, it really, it can, it only makes the distance between us larger. And I totally get the instinct to express that shock because you want to express, like, I am horrified that this happened to you. But all you're doing when you do that is, like, communicate that it's about you, that you're making it about your feelings. You're not making it about our
That's
experience.
Like, as if someone is telling you something, you're just like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Really? I can't believe it. It's like, just, what does that even do?
Stop. That must have been what? That must have felt like what for you? You know, I mean, and it's just, it's really frustrating because it also puts the person who's talking to you or, you know, the person you're talking to in the position of having to be like, so this whole time that we knew each other and I would talk about these things, you just like didn't believe me or thought that I, like, my experience is now real because you're bought on
exactly.
Now. Like, it's really frustrating. And I completely empathize because when I still, every time I hear about something awful and racist happening, every time somebody calls the cops on a little girl selling bottles of water, I'm like, I cannot fucking believe she did that. And every time I have that instinct, it feels like the right thing to say. It feels like I'm standing next to you in outrage, when in reality, I'm standing on the opposite side of the shit river, right? Saying like, that's terrible for you. I am shocked.
Right.
It's not helpful. It's mm-hmm. not fucking helpful. All it does is remind you that I don't ever have to deal with that if I don't want to. So don't do that. Please don't express your shock. Don't express your surprise. Do better. Ask us how we're doing. And I'm sure there's a lot more great advice out there that we haven't even thought of yet. So please do come find us. We're at Facebook at facebook.com/mouthy, messy, mandatory. We're on Twitter at Twitter. We're on Twitter at Twitter.
At Mouthy Podcast.
Ah, thank you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do want to send us any of your apology emails, we will read them and critique them for you. We're at mouthymessymandatory@gmail.com. Is that our email address? Yeah. That's it.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
I am a media professional. Please remind me what my email address is again.